Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Jessica Jones Season 3, Episode 1, aka The Perfect Burger.
All that right after this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name's Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Jeff Randall. It's been a while, my friend.
What's up, sir?
Haven't talked to you since New York.
That is true. I'm back from New York. I'm sure the audio sounds at least marginally better.
Yes.
Not being on my phone through Skype.
Yes. Much, much better. I had a great trip, though. Really, really fun time up in New York. Got to meet some cool listeners up there. That was awesome.
Yeah, we did an escape room with some of our listeners.
Thomas and Mikkel and Nicole. Thanks for coming out. I don't know. There's just something cool about meeting people that you know. If they listen to the podcast, they know you're. It's like a weird way of getting a new friend because
it's a new friend who already knows everything about you.
Yeah, it's well, you at least know that they are similar enough in personality to put up with you. I don't know, to put up with listening to you. It's a weird way. I don't know. Anyway, so that was awesome. It's good to meet new people. And New York was just super rad. Let's get to Jessica Jones.
Yeah, speaking of New York.
Jessica effin' Jones.
Jessica effin' Jones is probably right, except that there was no effin' in this episode, even though she tried.
She tried, and that
spoiler alert, I guess.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, everybody. Spoilers. What'd you think of this first opening episode of Jessica Jones, my friend?
I feel like the first episode of Jessica Jones follows the trend of first episodes of like later than season one seasons of all of these shows. Like, non-season one season openers are always kind of slow, getting us back into the water, kind of like reintroducing us to the character and the world that these people live in. Because, like, if we're being completely honest, this show is vastly different from the show, the feel of the show that The Punisher has. And this one is vastly different from the show, from the feel of the show, the Daredevil and Luke Cage and Iron Fist. Like, they all have their own kind of niche that they fit into, and it's kind of like easing you back into the water a little bit until, like, right at the end, they just throw some bomb at you.
Right. That is definitely true. And when these shows return, we tend to binge them. And so we haven't seen this character in over a year, like a year and a half or something. So it's, they have to kind of reintroduce the world and let us know what's going on. But a few things I thought were interesting this episode is how quickly they did move through some of the story. I honestly thought that we weren't going to get Trish this so soon. They set up the storyline to be like, Trish is missing. That was the main thrust of this episode. Trish is missing. And so I thought that was like going to be an ongoing mystery.
Yeah. I thought that could have been pretty cool if they had drawn out that mystery a little bit.
Maybe, but man, I loved that we just got it. But for one thing, we all know that she has powers. We know it because of last episode of last season.
The cell phone.
Yeah, the cell phone falling. We know she has some sort of powers. She's developed something from that, invasive surgery that she went through. So to me, it would have been sort of wasting time to sit on that fact for episodes. Yeah. And that's kind of what I thought they were about to do. So when they just jumped right into it, so Jessica knows she has powers. She's out being a vigilante. Jessica has decided to be a good person, to give a shit and try to do something about it.
Is that the shocking thing this season?
It kind of is. It's a shocking turn for her character. She's trying to be a good person. It's interesting because in a lot of ways her life has fallen apart. Her life has gotten worse. She's not doing that much better, much more self-care or anything. She still has the, problems that she had in all the other seasons. She's still drinking. I thought it was very interesting that someone else poured her liquor for her.
I was just laughing at that. It's funny that she has an assistant now that will just straight up pour her liquor for her. When Malcolm was her assistant, he would take the bottle away from her and be like, "Nope, you need to drink this water."
Yeah, I think they're playing with an idea here. I think of her having a desire to be a good person, or her having a desire to do good, but she's still. She's not surrounding herself with people that will challenge her, and that is important. That is an important aspect of doing good, of being able to do good, is to have accountability to others. And you know, she says she's trying to maintain a distance between her and her assistant. You know, and Malcolm would have, like you said, he would have stopped her from drinking, and now this lady is just enabling her completely.
Yeah, they have a weird relationship. Like, she poured the drink for her, but then, like, they're bickering about the couch and whether or not it stays, and then at 4:59, she's like, oh, shift's over. Like, packing up. Like, real dedicated to my work-life balance here.
Well, yeah, I think that's the thing. She's just an assistant, like an actual assistant. She stands up for herself and gives her some crap and does the office things that need to happen, like the couch. But, like, she's not getting involved in Jessica's personal life, really.
Yeah. And Malcolm would have been, like, straight up all over it, like, 5 o'clock or not.
Right. Exactly. And so I think that they're setting up something where she's trying to be a good person, but she's still not – she's not doing the self-care she needs to do. And so I don't think she's going to be able to accomplish her goals of doing good. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. I like where Malcolm is at in this season, especially in this opener. Like, he's done really well for himself. If you think back to, like, season one, he was a junkie. He had dropped out of college. He was going to be a social worker, and he dropped out and was, you know, hooked on some sort of combination of things. Probably just, I think they had said heroin, but one or more drugs. Because of Kilgrave.
Yeah.
And then he got a little bit better and started helping Jess in season two. And then when she's just being a right dick to him, then he goes off to do his own thing. And now he's doing really well for himself. Like, he's actually doing pretty good. He's not doing good work necessarily.
Right. Well, that's the whole dichotomy with him, is he is definitely in a better place, you know, financially and sort of status-wise now. And he has his life is more put together, for sure. But he's doing bad. Like, in the end, he had this sort of street justice thing where he wrecked into the guy to prevent him, I guess, from killing others, I guess. So I guess he's doing his own vigilante thing. But even that's, like, you know, definitely dangerous and definitely illegal.
Yeah, certainly illegal, and definitely on questionable moral grounds.
Oh, yeah.
to say the least,
for sure.
The major things that he's doing, to, like, getting the guy, the baseball player off of his DUI or whatever, like, you know, making, like, forcing him to sign the car over and send the guy to a body shop to, you know, get the car fixed up. That's very questionable moral standing there.
No, and he knows it. But then he embraces his own vigilantism, though. I don't know that he doesn't realize that can get dark itself. I mean, we're watching a show about vigilantes. I mean, this entire universe is built on vigilantism. So I'm not I don't know that the show is going to question that. But I do think it's sort of a bold turn for Malcolm. To take matters into his own hands physically like that.
Yep, absolutely. It just goes to show that not everything is black and white. You know, like, somebody could be doing really good for themselves in a good spot, like financially, or look like they're in a good position, like you said, as far as, like, status, but may not necessarily be doing the best things.
Yeah,
and it seems like this whole thing is kind of leading into that. Really want to get to what Jeffrey James had to say about it If you'll allow me a little bit of feedback.
Yeah.
He says the main theme of this season seems to be what does it mean to be a hero? And also nothing is black and white. Lots of ethical dilemmas. Also, I think this is a good thing. I like the way the show is about women's relationships with each other and themselves rather than relationships with men. I'm really interested in where this is going. Mm. And that's something that's really interesting about the women's relationships is because, you know, after Jess had her car accident, she was taken in by Trisha's family. Her mom especially helped to raise her. But her mom is not a great person.
Trisha's mom is the worst.
She is kind of the absolute worst.
At least she's staying fit. Her daughter's missing. Right? Something dark is going on in her life. She thinks all these things could be wrong with her. And then she says, at least she's staying fit. And it just seemed, it seemed like so honest too. Like she really is. Well, at least she's skinny. At least she probably still is keeping up appearances. Oh, I hate her mom so much.
Right. So like, you know, the good thing about her is that she didn't allow Jessica to starve. You know, like she kept her alive at the very least. And I guess there is some good in that, but she's probably going to take that as like, oh, look at the good I've done. I raised her. Look, that's such a great thing of me to have done. But she's not a great person.
Have we ever learned why? I'm sure we have. It's been two seasons of exploring it. But do we know why she took Jessica in? Like, was it? She seems so self-interested.
I think it was for the publicity. I think they covered that in season one, but I'm not 100% certain.
It's been a long time.
It's
been a long time. I think you're right. I think that's right because she, you know, she was already a star as a child, and I guess they were trying to probably make the family look good by taking in someone who lost their family. What do you think? Do we trust Eric?
Oh, he's so nihilistic. I don't know if I can trust somebody who has such a bleak outlook like that. As far as people go,
I didn't get the. I can't remember what he said that was so bleak. I watched this 3 days ago, so I'm like a little fuzzier on some of the finer details.
Okay. He was saying, you know, everything is awful, people suck, expect the worst, like never trust anybody. One of those Woody Harrelson and Solo situations. Like if you always expect everybody to betray you, you'll never be disappointed.
Right. Okay. Yeah. He just definitely seems a little dark. And I mean, you know, maybe he's just, he just seems like he's been introduced into the story for a reason, obviously. And I don't know if he's, for nefarious purposes. And then when she gets stabbed at the end, I was like, is he in on it? Is he distracting her while someone could come up and stab her? I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as Jessica Jones goes, it's hard to trust any man in her life.
For sure.
Who's not Luke Cage.
By the way, I really hope, and I really doubt it. I don't think so. I really wish they would have an episode with Luke Cage this season.
Right?
I really...
Like, they had such amazing chemistry.
Well, they do, and I just want something to wrap his storyline up. Like, I wish him being the owner of the club would somehow get, like, wrapped up into her life this season for an episode, just like we got with Danny Rand dropping in for an episode of Luke Cage. Like, I'd love to see Luke Cage drop into this so we could get some resolution to his storyline because we may never get it if they don't do something else on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Yeah, God. And then we'll have to wait 2 years for that to happen. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know what's going on with them one last time if that's going to be the last thing we know. Because I feel like Daredevil ended well. Iron Fist, I don't care too much. Punisher ended well. But Luke just ended up in a weird place.
I think you care at least a little bit about Iron Fist. You don't care so much about Danny, but you want to see what Colleen is doing.
Yes, I would love it if Colleen dropped in too. That'd be awesome. So the stabbing. That's obviously... I loved it how thin this was story-wise. Like, they did all this character work this episode. It's all this character work. Even, you know, with Trish being missing, that was still just about Trish's character and what's going on with her. But then the sort of propelling incident that happens is her being stabbed. We know nothing about it. And her saying, get the bad guy at the end. Her saying, there's one thing to do, get the bad guy. And it's just like, we're on a simple mission. Like, there's, we don't know why. And that's the thing, it's a mystery. It's like, in the purest sense, we have the classic, like, murder storyline or whatever. Obviously, she didn't die and is not going to die from this. But, you know, she's been stabbed, and it's like, who is the knife-wielding maniac in the hallway? And that's what she does. She's a mystery solver. She's a PI. And I'm excited to see, like, a full season where at least right now, we have known nothing of why she's being stabbed, just that she's being stabbed.
My thought is that it's very likely the guy that that Trish was after, saying that, you know, that the statue connected him to an assault. And, like, if he's already, you know, up for an assault, and he knew who she was, he knew who Jessica was just from seeing her face real quick, like, he can figure out where she is and where, you know, where she lives or whatever.
Sure.
And, you know, he can potentially surprise her and, you know, attempt something, or at least pay someone to attempt something, potentially.
Maybe. It's possible. But I kind of feel like, why, if that was the case, if it was him, I don't, like, from a story perspective, if they're going there, I feel like it would have probably not been wearing a mask. Like, we would probably already know. The fact that they made it a mystery to me, and they made it so simple, and they made it just get the bad guy. She's just got to get the bad guy. And she's been doing lots of cases. Like, I think she's made other enemies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jessica Jones has a ton of enemies.
Yeah.
I think she even said that this episode.
Yes. So I hope that it's something different, something bigger, something that we're going to dive into. She's going to have to use her, you know, investigative ways to figure out what the deal is.
Yeah, that particularly is something that I like and am looking forward to, is that this show, especially the Jessica Jones show, is less about her superheroing, or less about her powers, and more about her investigative ability and her ability to dissect the world around her and then uncover all of the seedy, shitty motives that people have around her.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about the story, more about the character, and less about, like, Luke is cool and all, but there's such a strong focus on him being bulletproof and exploding his clothing literally every episode.
Right.
It's kind of like, okay, I want something else that's more like, you know, give me meat, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely want more out of my heroes than just punch them ups. And I don't think that that's all Luke is, but Luke has a lot of issues where it's like, it's more about how to make the community better.
Yeah.
And that stuff's interesting to me, but I do like Jessica as a hero. Is not, her power is not her power. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what we focus
yes,
on more than anything.
Yes. That's fair. Her super strength is not her power. It's her PI skills. So it is focused on her power.
Right. Yeah. The only thing I think we haven't mentioned is Hogarth. Hogarth is in a
Jerry.
Dark place.
Real dark place. And trying to drag Jessica down with her. Like, hey, when the time is right, use your instincts to know when to kill me.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to ask, and I don't know how they could get away. Like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Hogarth. I'm very sad for her, though. It was very sad, and Jessica really gave her the business.
Yeah, she did. And that whole, like, you know, in the moment, it felt kind of like a real dick move for Jessica to just, like, throw the pills into the glass, just, you know, keep them going, and then be like, you think this is enough? And, like, almost try to force it on her. But it was that kind of tough love sort of situation where, it, you know, she basically was like, look, see, you don't want to die. You obviously don't want to kill yourself.
Yeah, she's trying to make her confront the reality of what she's asking her to do. And she's just being a dick.
She's like, perfect opportunity to be a dick. Here we go.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, thanks, guys, for listening today. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. We will be dropping these. We're going to try to drop them every day. We couldn't get to this first one for a couple of days. It's been a busy weekend. But we're on it. We're going to be trying to drop these every day. And if you're a patron, we will hopefully be able to drop them faster. So if you're not a patron, go over to patreon.com/mcucast, and we do our best. Basically, as soon as we record them, we drop them on the Patreon feed, and then we only drop one a day on the main feed. So if you like what we do, it does help us out a lot if you can support us on Patreon. It keeps the cast going. So patreon.com/mcucast. Do all that stuff. If you want to hit us up at all the social medias, we're at MCUcast everywhere you social med. And if you want to hear more from me, I have the Star Trek Universe podcast and the Orville Universe podcast, as well as my music at search for Matthew Carroll in whatever music app you use. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.